Do you like movies?
Hey, you're back with Taking It Down, the Alabama Takes weekly pop culture podcast, usually with a focus on television and movies and some music and books on an occasion. Today, we will actually talk about some new music. We're going to talk about the new James McMurtry album, The Horses and the Hounds. After the break, we're going to give a few comments on the new FX/Hulu series, Reservation Dogs. I am the host. I'm Blaine Duncan. Joining me here today, second chair. We only have the two chairs today. It's only one man, but he can feel the duties of two. It's Donovan Reinwald.
Thanks for having me, Blaine. It's a real honor. You said duties.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Did I?
Duties of two.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. No Adam M. Morrow this week. You have comments on that at all?
Yeah, who's leaving the, you know, you're always like, how's the Cape? Who's living the East Coast lifestyle now? Word on the street is that he is absent for some sort of tennis event.
Yeah, he's at some sort of...
Whenever I go in, do you use Google Maps?
Not on my phone, no.
Okay, so when you're navigating with Google Maps and you go into a new state, it'll say welcome to whatever state it is, and a little icon will pop up.
Oh, really?
And when I go to Rhode Island, it says, welcome to Rhode Island, and a little man holding up a tennis racket comes up.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Oh. I'm not making that up. This goes to my point that Adam is living that East Coast life. He's out in Rhode Island playing tennis as we speak.
And then the guy quickly disappears because Rhode Island is like a minute to drive through.
You know, if you do it right, you can really get lost in there.
How long, what's the quickest trek through Rhode Island, honestly?
Oh, I mean, if you're just like, you mean like from edge to edge?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably take you an hour, maybe two, just because depending on where you go. If as the crow flies, I mean like 30, 45 minutes, right? But just because there's stuff built up and there's bridges and you got to go to the interstate and all that.
I always assume 30.
Yeah, depends on where you go. But if you went edge to edge, you can take a shockingly long amount of time going through Rhode Island.
Okay, and with your tennis racket.
With your tennis racket in hand, white-knuckling it.
Well, one thing you guys don't have on the Upper East is COVID. Not
Lord
a lot
knows.
Of that.
It's coming back.
Well, it's me. Yeah, I am curious. What's the vaccination rate in Connecticut now?
So it's still 70+. Fully vaccinated. I forget what. I don't think we're 80 yet. Vermont hit 80 back in the summer.
Wow, that's so good.
But
that is so impressive.
The rate's climbing, and same as with everywhere else, right? It's you know, young kids and stuff driving it, which is, you know, there's really nothing funny to say about that.
Mm-mm. No, the death cult that is people who won't get vaxxed or won't buy into the scientific explanations of it. These are the same people who wanted to kill grandma and grandpa last year, and this year they're okay with kids getting it. So,
On the other hand, you know, and I think it's kind of hard to go backwards, right? Like things opened up, and then the Delta variant came around. But I do think some places people aren't wearing masks, some places masking up again. We're kind of at a weird in between place.
Yeah, if I was in Connecticut or Vermont, I don't know if I would either.
Some of the governor left it up to the individual towns to implement mask mandates. So some towns have actually gone back to mask mandates and some haven't. And I think, you know, it also depends on where you live too. You know, vaccination rates do vary town to town. And Connecticut is small enough that it's at that granular level where they're able to track it by town.
Wow. Oh, well. Enough about that. How about that new James McMurtry album? Let's get into our first bit here.
Boy, does that album start off with a bang or what?
Yeah. Canola Fields?
Canola Fields.
Yeah, that I think that might have been the first or second single. I can't remember which one. Two singles off of it. Friday, James McMurtry, latest album release. First one in 4 years, I think. Called The Horses and the Hounds, produced by Ross Hogarth. McMurtry wrote or co-wrote all of the songs on the album. That's pretty par for the course for him. And, one of the main reasons, you know, we even debated having an episode today, honestly, all cards on the table, but I really wanted to get on mic and hear what you had to make of the Horses and the Hounds.
Okay, so this is my first James McMurtry album. I've never heard a lick that he's done before this.
Wow.
I haven't heard anything.
I just assumed you'd heard something.
No, I don't. I really don't. Maybe I have, but I don't think that I have. And he's a heck of a songwriter, huh?
Yeah.
One of the things I really appreciate that I thought was neat, and I guess, you know, this is kind of jumping ahead into the nitty-gritty of it, but so many of the songs, he has a phrase that he'll repeat. And he'll use the same words, but he'll put it in a context where the first time he says it, it means one thing. And the next time he says it, and it just really rewards listening. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the album sounds great.
Yeah, it is.
He's a good singer. All the folks that are backing him sound really good. It's got kind of, sometimes it feels a little honky-tonk. Sometimes it just feels like country. Sometimes I guess you could call it more, I don't know, roots or Americana. Yeah. Sometimes within the same song, there are little pieces that'll do different things, which helps to gird up under the songwriting. And yeah, that first, there's a couple really good ones on here, but I really, really, really liked Canola Fields. That one reaches right out and seizes you.
Yeah, good opener. Great opener there. Really, the first four songs are top-notch.
I'll actually say one of the songs that made me the saddest or possibly resonated the most. I'm not sure if it was even the best songs, but what was it? Operation Nowhere? Now
Operation Nevermind.
Operation Nevermind.
Yeah, tell me about what about that one?
Well, you know, I've got my dad is an Army veteran, and my brother is in the Army, and there's just a lot of. He goes into a bit where he talks about, like there's a really good bit there where he talks about, like, saluting the troops during the seventh inning stretch and all that.
Uh-huh.
But we don't really... Then he goes right from that into talking about how people are killing themselves and we don't know or care why. And there's something just sort of... You know, I've been kind of thinking about the ways that combat sort of breaks you. And being... at least from the outside looking in. It seems like there's some folks... There's something inherently anti-human and destructive to some of the situations that we as a society have put them in without really thinking about it or caring much about it. So I think, and then it felt eerily resonant with everything going on in Afghanistan. Now things are actually getting on TV, and I'm not sure... If you said Afghanistan to me a year ago at this time, I'm not sure I would have had the same emotional reaction because we weren't talking about it the same way. So that one was kind of I'm not sure if it was the best song on the album, but there was a lot of, you know, it was an angry song.
It is. A lot of Charlie Sexton on this album, as well as David Grisham on guitar a lot, if you're familiar with any of those musicians. Operation Nevermind, I don't think that one is the best song now. I'm with you, but yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. The song right after that is called Jackie. Does that one ring a bell to you?
That one's a good one.
Boy, that's a great song.
I like the way he uses choruses, and he'll kind of do that same thing where he's repeating the words, but he's just changed up the context around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a little... And he's got some good turn of phrases, too.
And he's one of the songwriters that could insert a phrase that you might hear in conversation, and it wouldn't work in a song, but yet he knows how to do that somehow.
That's a good point. Yeah, where it sounds... I don't know, for some reason, and maybe it was because the subject matter of this seems to dwell a lot on getting older, thinking about the past, thinking about just all kinds of stuff. You know, he's got a great line in here where he says, I'm cashing in on a 30-year crush. Young folks can't do that or something like that, which was great.
You can't be young and do that.
That's what it was. But I just felt like these... I don't know if that was the sound they were going for, but the songs just felt kind of lived in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
that was
for sure.
That was the phrase that kept coming over and over to my mind. Just lived in the sense that, like, I could sort of hear that. I don't know. it felt like there was, like, you could hear some of these things in a conversation, you know?
The second track, If It Don't Bleed, is the one that's stumping me the most. It's, I love it, but I don't know what he's talking about. That's one of those, I guess there's a few interpretations, and it's supposed to be open in that way, but I haven't wrapped my head around one yet.
There's a couple, because that's the one where he talks about, he says, I'm as close to Jesus as I want to get.
Uh-huh.
And I can share, when he says, if you don't talk like me, I can share bread and wine. I'm from a different time.
Uh-huh.
Which kind of, you know, you hate to get to.
Well, what's the not the thing that's not bleeding? I guess that's
if
what
it don't
I
bleed, mean. It don't mean anything. Yeah, I don't know either. It kind of felt like if it don't bleed, it don't mean anything. If there's no skin in the game, I don't know. Because the stuff, I don't know. That's sort of what there's some kind of thing with. At least it seems like he's tying up Christ, who's he's as close to as he wants to be, and bread and wine and blood all together.
Yeah. Quite well. A bit of trivia, that song has Stan Lynch playing percussion. Stan Lynch from the Heartbreakers, I'm assuming.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That goes back to something we kind of said at the beginning, which is the whole album sounds great.
Yes, it does. Like, he's not on drums. He's just on percussion. So okay. I don't know what that entails. There's a lot of songs on here, and this is McMurtry's bread and butter, where he has songs about relationships that aren't on the brink of ending or beginning. They're just in bad spots. They're like, it's a specific sort of song I don't think you hear a lot. It's not a he or she's gone, or we're done and I'm over her, or I'm trying to get over her. It's we're in the middle of some shit kinds of songs.
Yeah.
And I appreciate those kinds of songs, and he's really great at that. Jackie, I think, is my favorite. I think it's the best written. I think it's some of his best singing, by the way. Just if you've heard of his other albums, it's amazing that he's singing as well as he is. And I think he's one of the only songwriters who could do those lines I was talking about. Where here's the line I thought of. It's the landlady won't like the stains on the rugs and the curtains.
Yeah.
That's pretty good line. And they all have layers. Like, his writing always does, but they have layers, and not so much layers in meaning, but layers in story.
Yeah.
Which is what you're getting at with the phrase being repeated, but in a different context, which is like Decent Man's one that's just a straight story, but the details can go in different directions depending on the listener. It's a fantastic album. I really liked Canola Fields, If It Don't Bleed, Jackie. Oh, those are good. Not a lot of throwaways on here.
I don't think there's really a truly bad song on the record.
It's good stuff. And for you, Donovan, I encourage you to listen to more. He's probably got stronger songs on other albums.
After hearing this one and liking some of the songs on here so much, I'm definitely going to go and explore that back catalog. And this is, I got to drive. My work is an hour away from where I live. And this felt like a really good driving around album. So I'm looking forward to throwing on some of those other albums and seeing where the road takes me, amigo.
Yeah, it's got that feel. I was lucky enough to have James McMurtry on the online talk show we have with Short Takes. It's on YouTube. Yeah, he's a deep guy. He kind of gets to his answer quickly, which is kind of funny considering how well his songs are written.
Yeah, he writes songs that, not to say they're not tight, because they are, and it doesn't feel like there's wasted time, but he's not afraid to meander a little bit, which I like because people meander. And it kind of, some of the songs, it really, especially that first one, Canola Fields, it really worked well because it felt like somebody remembering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we do that and kind of weave around. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what I wanted to say about it. It's a great album. I would have done a proper review. I think I'll let this stand as a review for it. It's good stuff. Go check it out. We're going to talk on the other side about the FX Hulu show Reservation Dogs. So we'll take a break. All right, coming next week on this very podcast, it's our college football preview with our guy T.D. Wood joining the cast and crew. That's going to be a lot of fun. Subscribe to this podcast so you'll get that episode, but we get you an episode pretty much every Tuesday morning, bright and early. As for the Alabama Take itself, the website where all of this started, we've got great news. This Song Sucks returns for its second season in September. You can follow it on the site. This Song Sucks is in a separate podcast feed, so subscribe to it as well. Follow it. And one last thing, we got plenty of options in our online store, like t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, you name it, and a few different choices of colors. And all of our shows are represented there, from This Song Sucks to Short Takes to the Alabama Take website in general. Well, speaking of Short Takes, this Friday's filmmaker Anissa Latham from Birmingham, Alabama, jump on our YouTube channel, subscribe to it, and you'll get those shows. You'll get notified of those shows as well. All right, let's get back into taking it down this week. So,
I barely want to. College football's coming up.
I know, college football preview next week.
You gonna jump on that first? I think nationally televised game, Illinois Nebraska.
I'll probably have money on that game. Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's exactly it. Let's do it.
Also, yeah. Well, that sets me up. TD and I will run our Friday column on. We picked three games each, and we didn't do it last season. We were both, I think, bummed out by COVID, and just we had no idea what games would even be played. You know, they could announce a cancellation midweek. You just never knew. Anyway, the win was out of our sails last season, so we didn't do the column. But the year before that would have been 2019. There was a while there where I was on a, not to toot my own horn, but I will. I was on a streak where if people were taking my advice and betting, they were making money, like money. I was hitting for a while, and I ended up with a really good percentage overall at the end of the season, one that would definitely put you
the black.
Yeah, you would have been in the black there.
Not like the Neil Young song, but like you made a bunch of money.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. And TD, he didn't have a great season that season, but he has some good picks for sure. So we'll do three each every Friday, tell you what we think is the best bet, or the best three bets. Usually there's not even a lot of overlap either, so it's kind of cool. So y'all check that out. But you're talking about football season. We'll have a bigger cast next week. We'll talk. We might even bring up some NFL stuff. TD keeps his eye on a lot of NFL news and stuff. What, you got an NFL team, Donovan?
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay. I knew. I might have known that. I know that's Adam's team too. And
yeah.
So I went to Twitter. I'll bring this up again next week. But I went to Twitter to officially renounce my fandom of NFL. I am no longer a Dallas Cowboys fan. Just I'm done with them. I'm done. And you know what it took? You know what was the nail in that coffin?
There's been so many nails in that particular coffin. It's hard to imagine which one it was in particular.
You would think it would have happened a long time ago, but the actual one was Dak Prescott kind of being stupidly elusive about getting vaccinated. Or I don't think he has gotten vaccinated.
I would say that Dak Prescott is a smart man who knows who signs his paychecks, and that guy is Jerry Jones.
Who is probably anti-vax, right?
Who was probably vaccinated and wants everyone else to not get it.
Who's vaccinated, but yet anti-vax. Those are my favorite people.
There's no way that he's in any kind of personal danger.
Oh, does that mean you didn't get vaccinated? No, I'm vaccinated. No, just you. No one else should.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't give up my freedom because I paid for this.
Well, in that part of the country, a little north of Dallas, we got this show. Based in Oklahoma, we want to get into this FX/Hulu series. I'm watching it over on Hulu, but I do think it airs on FX. Or it might be one of those combo shows that only, it's got the FX branding, but only on Hulu. It's called Reservation Dogs. It's a series created by Sterling Harjo, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think it's, is it Taika Waititi?
It is.
Of Marvel, you know, of Marvel
fame. Yeah, and beyond. Of Jojo Rabbit, of What We Do in the Shadows, of lots of projects. But anyway, they have co-created these adventures of four Native American teens and their issues, which in the first couple was primarily with crime in modern-day Oklahoma. And I'll tell you, my first thoughts with the opening episode and the opening scene was that, do I have enough bandwidth for misbehaving teens? Seeing how I deal with that on a daily basis. Even in a comedic endeavor, is this what I want to watch once a week? What do you think initially, though? You're the one who sort of drew our attention to it.
So, I guess, gosh, my initial thought that it was probably similar to yours, just in the sense of four kids being bad is not exactly like the most novel approach a show could take. But as I watched it, I'm three episodes in. They're 30 minutes each. So that's a good, nice snack size. I found myself at least kind of like intrigued by the setting and wanting to see what was going to go on with these guys. Now it's marketed as a comedy, and I found that like they're in situations that, you know, you're kind of watching it. You're like, I understand. I recognize that this situation is comedic, but I've actually just been more watching it, I think, for the just kind of giving it a chance more on the setting and what's going on with the characters than anything else.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what I was thinking. Nothing struck me especially uproariously funny. Besides, there was these two natives who rap, and I'm guessing they have a form of dwarfism or something. But they show up riding bikes and rapping and like cracking wise, and I want more of those guys in the show.
They have been a bright spot, especially when like there's a bit where they're just talking about someone. He's like, "Don't you remember? He's my cousin, man. He's your uncle. We're cousins." And like just them trying to. part of the fun, actually, I think one of my favorite jokes in the show has been everyone piecing together how everyone's related to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. You're right. You were touching on something earlier. When's the last time you watched a show based and filmed in Oklahoma?
And I will say that the kids themselves, the actors, are not obnoxious.
No.
They are good actors. Surprisingly good. I think they're actually better than they have to be honest.
Yeah, that may be the case. I get what you mean. The character of, well, both character of Bear and Cheese. So there's one of them who goes by the name Bear, and there's one who's nicknamed Cheese, and I think Cheese is my favorite so far.
Is also my favorite so far.
I really do want to tune back in for those two especially. There's this melancholy haze to their goofiness, and I think that's what's bringing me back, and I'm going to continue to watch it, is that particular, this very just sense of sadness that's embedded in it.
Right, so there's the scene in the first episode where Bear gets knocked out, and he meets one of the lesser-known warriors from Little Big Horn.
Yes, yes. And he's a reoccurring character.
That was probably actually the funniest part of the first episode. But there's a bit in the middle of it, right? Like, he's like, "I'm locked in on Custer," and then bam, there I went, gopher hole. But there's a bit at the end where he's like, "We died for our land. Like, we gave everything for our people, and we died for our land." And it's really sad. Yeah. And there's kind of the reminder, just in the stuff that the camera's willing to pick up, you know, things that say like 1491 or Land Back, or actually that was my did you watch the third episode?
I haven't watched the third yet.
Okay, there's a bit where two white folks are out for a drive, and they see a sign that says Land Back, motherfuckers, and one of the guys said, "Do they mean all of it?" And that. And that made me laugh. But they're kind of letting it pick up on just kind of this feeling that everything is not right for these characters.
That really ties into some of the things the White Lotus was doing as well. That's an interesting. Sounds like the third episode is touching on similar themes. But yeah, you're talking about that spirit native who visits Bear. His reoccurrences are so funny. They're so irreverent. When his horse lies down, and he like with him on it, it just lies down and won't move. It's great.
he's got to wander the spirit world, and it's mad cold.
Yeah. Great line. So, yeah, I think I do like it. I can't quite tell you exactly how much. I'm going to take a couple of more episodes before I can measure how much. But I think I can recommend it, especially for anyone who's interested in a show about Native Americans. And I'm never not into that.
Yeah, I think I'm at the exact same place where I wanted to... At no, even only three episodes, and they're short. So at no point was I ever like, "Geez, gotta watch another one." Couldn't exactly point a moment to you that was just like, "This is where it really took off for me." More of the kind of the vibe of the series is decent so far. I want to see what they do with it. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. It seems okay. We'll give it a lukewarm thumbs up, or for me, I guess a lukewarm go watch it.
I'd say if we're doing letter grades, this one's a solid B. It's not bad by any means, but it didn't have any part that just blew me away yet.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, me too. What We Do in the Shadows is, speaking of FX and Hulu shows, that's coming soon. And for those of you who have not watched that, that's something I can give you a much more encouraging thumbs up and tell you to go catch up on it before the third season premieres in a few weeks, I think.
If for nothing else, then when you have a TV show that's giving Matt Berry consistent work, you want to do everything you can to support that TV show.
Yeah, Matt Berry is slowly, I don't know if slowly is the word, but I think after this second season, he's kind of taken off as one of the bigger stars of the trio.
I mean, if you haven't watched the second season, then these words will mean nothing to you. But if you have, Jackie Tatone, a human bartender.
one of the greatest 30 minutes comedy in the last few years.
Very, 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 very good episode.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end. We want to thank everyone for listening. Next week, we're going to rope TD, one of our head writers, actually, onto the show for the college football preview, as well as some NFL talk. We'll throw that in there as well. Keep your eye out on the website, on our social media. I think we're going to launch a college football pick'em that everyone can get involved in. And we might even recruit a few of you out there to do fantasy football this year. COVID's still going on, but we're not going to let that be our excuse this year, if not just at least try to have fun indoors or masked up or whatever. So there you go. Subscribe to this show, rate, review, share us. Thanks for your support. Donovan and I will be back next week. Adam will too, and we'll get TD in here. So talk to you next week.